You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Topic that was generated by a Gemara we did in the Daf Yomi Bava Kama a couple of days ago in Daf Lamed Ches. If you turn to page number 3 of the Mar Makamos, where you have in the text 3b, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Ukavasholcha Malchus Romi Shnei Sardios Eitzel Chachmi Yisrael, that the Malchus of Rome sent two specific agents to the Chachmi Yisrael with a mandate of Lumdanu Teraschem, we want you to give us an understanding and knowledge of your entire Torah. Karu Shana Vishilshu, which is allusion to the fact they taught the Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. B'shas Petirasan, after this Roman investigation, before they left, they made the following declaration to the Jews. Amalahem, they said to the Jews, Dikdaknu Bekota Rasche, we analyzed very thoroughly the Torah that you taught us. The MSU, and we find it to be a truthful document, which means we very, very willingly agree to almost everything it says. Chutz mi davazeh, there's one thing we found offensive. Shatam omrim, shar shi Yisrael, shanagach shar kanani pater. If a Jewish ox gores a goyish ox, you're pater for any type of remuneration. V'shal kanani shanagach shar Yisrael, but if a goyish ox gores a Jewish ox, what's the halacha? Bein tam bein mu'ud, whether it's a first time occurrence or something that's done over 3 times when coming to the 4th time. In all cases, mashalim nezek shalim, you have to pay full damages. So the question that these two Roman investigators, they were lamdanim, they asked the question which the Gemara itself before in Bava Kama asked amongst the chachamim, mamanisha. Ir'eyu davka, if you tell us that when the Torah says menageach shor re'ehu, only Jewish shvarim are included in the parasha when it comes to halachic incumbency, afilu kanani kinogi Yisraeli pater. So since quite obviously only Jewish shvarim are included in the concept of compensation, so if a goyish shor is menageach the shor of a Jew, he's not shor re'ehu, he should be pater. V'yirei olav bedavka, and for re'ehu is only a phraseology. But in fact, it doesn't have to be only a Jewish shor involved in this. Afilu Yisrael kinogu kanani lechayiv. So when a Jewish shor is managech a shor of a guy, you should be chayiv. Dovizeh ain't onu modin osala malchus. But we're nice guys. When we go back to tell the malchus our investigation of your Torah, we're going to tell them we love the shir. It was very, very thorough. Everything's amiss. We won't tell them this little flaw. We shouldn't generate any anti-Semitism amongst the Romans that they should make gzeros to say that the Jews are biased against the Goyish Welt, which would give them reason to cause gzeros kashus against you. What's interesting, the Yerushalmi says on this Gemara that the Rabbanu Shalom didn't want to take any chances, so by the time they reached a specific border outside the land of Israel going to Chutz Laretz, overnight they went to sleep, and they forgot all that they had learned, so they were not able to, even if they wanted the Megalah to Megalah, because Hashem felt he can't trust them anyway, so he prevented the Jews from having any type of negative consequence by doing such. Now, it would appear from this Gemara Rabba Kama that it doesn't seem to be a problem if the Goyim ask you to teach them our Torah, it would seem that Halacha L'Masa, the Jews cooperated, taught them Teresh Biksav, taught them Mishnah, taught them Talmud, without any type of hindrance. From this sugi, it would appear that there is no Easter for a Jew to teach a guy if they make the request, our Torah, the Torah of Kalali, so Teresh Biksav and Teresh Lom. Now the reason this is problematic, you turn that back to page number 1. On page number 1 is the Gemara in Masechtas Chagiga, quotation 1a, with the Gemara seems to give you a different perspective. The Gemara brings down Amar Rav Ami, Ein Mosrin Divrei Torah Oivei Kachavim. You can't give over the words of Torah to non-Jews. Shenema, and interestingly, he quotes the pasuk from Sefer Tehillim. You say it each and every day. La'asachem l'chagoy u'mishpatum ba'yadun. That's one of the halalukis, that you shouldn't basically teach the Torah to Goyim, and we shouldn't make them know what our Torah is all about. Chazal call this a mitzvah asay, not to modia our Torah to the Goyim. Now I will admit to you, there is a machlokes amongst Rishonim and Poskin. Is this a Torah concept? Is this din merely a din derabbanon, as we'll see tonight? As far as this and as far as for that, is it a deraisa? Is it a derabbanon? And if you claim that it is a deraisa, when do you learn deraisas from psukim in Tanakh and ksuvim in Tehillim? So we've had that before, because we've had psukim sometimes quoted in Nevi'im and ksuvim, but Chazal explained it basically, it's an oral law up until now, but for whatever reason there was a need to mefarsim this oral law. So the Nevi'im in the Nevi'im and Ksuvim put it down like Yechezkel did many times, halachas in the Torah Shopet, in the Torah Shavikzal form, to make it more known, to make it more spread around when it comes to Pierce the Madava. So this could be an oral law, and the Pasuk Ketanach is like an Asmachta to a Deraisa, but it's not actually a Gzeres HaKosev as a mitzvah say, as it's coming from the Torah itself. But one thing is for sure. The Gemara says there is some isar of teaching Torah to the Goyim. So the obvious question is, why in the world didn't the Klal Yisrael, when they were asked by the Romans, why didn't they refuse to participate and cooperate? We're going to get to that. Now, question number two. Turn to page number two. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin which makes the issue even a little more complicated. It says in quotation 2a, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Oyved Kachavim Shaisik B'Teira Chayiv Misa. If a guy is involved in learning Torah, he's Chayiv Misa B'Dei Shemayim. This is not Misa's Bezel like the other Sheva Mitzvahs. He's Chayiv Misa B'Dei Shemayim. Shenema Teretzi V'Lana Moshe Marasha Kiyulas Yaakov. Lano Marasha, for us it's a Marasha V'Lo Lahem and not for the non-Jewish world. So the Gemara immediately asks the question, Velech Sheva Gav Sheva Mitzvos. If you're telling me there's an Issa Daraisa for going to be Isaac in Teres Israel, and that's an Issa Menat Torah, why don't we find any place in Shas, in Poskim, that they mention an eighth mitzvah, and that is the mitzvah of a going being Isaac in Teres amongst the other Sheva Mitzvahs which are a Daraisa? Why is it not included as an eighth? So the Gemara says, Einach Einami, it's a good tekasha, but we have a simple teretz. Mandam amarasha migza gazel, umandam amarasa dino denakana hamarasa. What does that mean? So the Gemara says that when it comes to the word teretzi v'lana moshe, marasha kihilas Yaakov, there is the classical kriyu that we read when we learn the Torah. And when we learn the Torah, we say in shul, marasha. Marasha means an inheritance. It's a possession of the Jews. So if a guy comes along and starts taking our Torah and starts being osik in it, it's as if he's taking away our Torah that belongs to us exclusively and he's taking it for himself. He seems to be doing a maisa gazela, and since gezel is part of the Sheva Mitzvah and Noach, it would be nechleles under that specific tzav. The other pshat is based upon Kabbalistic Seis interpretation of the Torah, Marasha, without the way we pronounce it in Kriyas HaTorah, can actually be read Morasa or Morasa, that the Torah is the bride, the Kala of Klal Yisrael, that we're married to the Torah, we're the Chasin and Klal Yisrael, we're the Chasin and Klal Yisrael, the Chasin and the Torah is the Kala. There are many Midrashim that allude to this concept, that the Rebbeinu Shalom allowed Klal Yisrael to marry the Torah, and with the Chassid it's the Kala. So therefore, if the Goyim therefore involves in learning our Torah, it's as if they're having a sexual liaison with our Kala, and therefore it's a violation on a Kabbalistic level of the concept of Arayot, which is also one of the Sheva Mitzvahs. So if that's the case, what the Gemara is saying over here is that there is an Issa Deraisa, but it's either subsumed under Gezel or subsumed under Arayos, and that's why it's not listed as a separate Sheva Mitzvahs. But the only problem is, Rabbi Yisai, that if you take the Gemara literally, the halacha should be that if it's considered Gezela or Arayos, that the guy should be chayv Mises Vezna for having done such. But we know for a fact, as I'm going to show you very shortly, nobody paskins amongst the Rishonim that if a guy learns Torah, he's chayv Misa b'day Shemayim, which means chayv Misa is Bezdin, but mostly might be mechayv is Misa b'day Shemayim, but not Misa Bezdin Shomata. And all the other Sheva Mitzvahs, he's chayv Misa Bezdin Shomata. When it comes to these mitzvahs, if you say learning Torah is one of the Gezel Arayis, you should have also been chayv the concept of Misa of Bezdin Shomata. But that's not the movement of the Rishon. The most Yechayim is Misa B'dei Shemayim. So the question is why? I'm leaving that as a Tzarkian, but just be aware of that specific fact. So we see over here, Rabbi Yisrael, another Chiddush. That a guy in his own right, forget about us teaching him Torah. A guy in his own right, if he took our Torah with this translation, he took our not scroll Gemara, for instance, and started to learn each and every day, Daf Yomi, using the English translation, and guess what, Chevra? There are goyim out there that are so fascinated with intellectual stimulation of Daf Yomi that they learn Daf Yomi with an art scroll. I'll tell you, Maisa Shehoya, Maisa Shehoya, Mama Shehoya, because the person was riding on the plane in the sky, whatever it is, going to Eretz Israel, and there was a guy who was sitting without his yarmulke, learning the Daf Yomi, and it wasn't an airline, it was a different airline, but when they served the food, not only didn't have kosher food, he ate the non-kosher food. So a guy who was sitting next to him out of his cotton pick him on, it's one thing he's learning with a blosser cup, but now he's eating parfis, there is a major topic that said, what's going on over here? So out of curiosity, he said to him, oh, you're a Jew, you're learning Torah, I see. He says, no, I'm not a Jew, I'm a non-Jew. You're a non-Jew, you're learning Gemara. Yeah, I love it, it's stimulating, I'm a lawyer, it's challenging intellectual. So what I'm pointing out to you is, and this is not a yaitzim in that cloud, there are a lot of goyim out there that like the intellectual stimulation when it comes to learning Gemara, and therefore if that's the case, they're learning Daf Yomi using the art scroll. We know historically that the church loved to hire rabbis during the 1400s and the 1500s, for them to come to Rome to teach their theologians Talmudic texts. They're willing to pay them with grand sums to come and teach us and translate the Gemara for us. So the fact of the matter is, that's the Metzius. People do this. Not that you're supposed to do it, but people do it. So the question everybody asks is, why did the Gemara in Chagiga have to make a special pasuk? And that pasuk is the concept of Isa to give their Torah to a guy, and you have to bring a pasuk from Tanakh to prove it. I have a much more beferish a pasuk in the Torah itself, Lifnei Iva Lo Siti Mirshal, if a guy shall Isa b'teres chayiv misa, for you to teach them Torah, you are therefore being a facilitator of their Maisa Vera. It's comparable, Taisa says, to giving a guy to eat Avim and Achai, where if you're the only source of it, you're violating the Tnei'us and Mishal, which is an Issa Deraisa. So why do you have to manufacture a new Issa of the Issa, say, of Imosa Dem Teira? What about the Tnei'iva? So guess what, Rabbi Issa, ain't Flam's Kasha. Taisis on page number one, ask the Kasha in Taisis. You look on Taisis on page one, quotation B. Taisis says, Ain Mosin Dem Teira La'akum. For your kasha to the Baal Taisis Rabbi Chanan, typically the Eidechayv and Ha'isa B'Tara Chayiv Nisa, as the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, it says Eidechayv and Ha'isa B'Tara Chayiv Nisa, and therefore Hamalando, those who teach it to him, Eidechayv and Ha'isa B'Tara. So if that's the case, what do we see, Rabbi Yisai? It's not my kasha, Taisis is the kasha. So why do you have to invent a new mitzvah saseh if you have a lot of mefurish min ha-teira when this applies? So if you look at the bottom of the Taisis has to manufacture very lumdish teretz. You know what the teretz is. The teretz says, what are we dealing with in Gemara and Chagiga? We're only violating lifnei ivelos ha-michshal if the only source of the guy violating his halachos is the Jew. But what happens if the guy can teach this other guy Torah, and he doesn't need me as his Rebbe? The same way, if a guy can give an Eivir Chavim, Eivim and Achai, he doesn't need the Jew to give it to him. So once the guy has another source to violate, independent of you, the technical Iser of Lifnei Iver doesn't apply anymore. It's a Beferish Gemara Masechtis Avodah Zarah Dava, where the Gemara makes that Chilik, Shtei Iver Da'ara. So if that's the case, the Gemara says, our Gemara is telling us in Masechtis Chagiga, that even though the guy could learn from another Jew the Torah, so therefore Lifnei Iver doesn't apply, there's still another Aseh prohibiting, and that's the Aseh Masechtis Chagiga of a Moses Dovid Ha'akim, that's an independent Aseh besides the Lav Lifnei Iver.
Isn't there a machlokas
with Nehira applies to the day? No, the Ferish Gemara, Dalvav, Amad Aleph, in the Sechus of Edizara, nobody's going to look over there. Nobody. Look at Dalvav, you'll see. Now, back to this. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says if that's the case, we therefore see from this Rabbi's side that there is an Isa. It seems to be an Isa Torah for us to teach Goyim Torah. It's a very interesting phenomenon. The Gemara in Chagiga implies it. The Baruch Chagiga and Sanhedrin even buttresses it. Not only we can't teach them, they can't even learn it themselves. So therefore, if that's the case, Chazuk Kushal Aduk is going back to page number 3. So how in the world did we have the permission to teach these two agents of the Roman Empire when it comes to their desire to learn the Torah, and we taught them Torah Shebiksav and Mishnah and Gemara, what was a heter? So if you look at quotation 3D on the bottom, Tosfos asks my kasha. Not Tosfos. Tosfos asks the following question. Listen very carefully. This is what Tosfos says. So Tosfos says on the bottom of the page where it says Kavu Shanu Deshilshu. So Zok Tosfos the following. Bim Teiva. Harmina Bimasechtis Chagiga. Hamalame Teira Laivit Kachavim. Oive Vasei. The Magid Dvar of Yaakov. So therefore, Tosfos is asking a question, how did Klai so show such a willingness to teach him Kol HaTorah Kula if there's an Isa say to be most of them Torah? So Yesh Lomer, Tosfos says, the Baal Kach Asu Api Divrei HaMoshel V'lo Nischai V'limsa Atzma, a very important terence. Klai Yisrael didn't volunteer, let the Roman Empire send us Talmidim, and we're going to show the Roman Empire how great the Torah is, therefore call, like I make a hakel over here. We didn't invite them to come to our universities, to our yeshivas, to teach them Torah, to give them a degree in Torah. What happened over here is the Roman Empire, like the Roman Empire was wont to do in that tekufa, threatened the Jews by the Moshel, the emperor, you better let us come and analyze your Torah, and you better teach it to us. Otherwise, your life is going to be at stake. So the chiddush of the Gemara and Baba Kama is, when you're coerced to teach Goyim Torah, and there's a fear that if you don't do such, your life is at stake, there's a pekuach nefesh, there's no chiyuv of yereg v'yavar in teaching Goyim Torah. There's the isa yereg v'yavar on avodah zarah, gila arayis v'shvichas damim, but when it comes to even an isa deraisa to teach them Torah, it's like other mitzvahs, which if you threaten Rabbi Yisai, the halacha is that there's no Easter of Yerav HaYavar, and if that's the case, basically speaking, there's no mitzvah Yerav HaYavar, and therefore because of that coercion, they were allowed to. And I want to, over here, emphasize something that I found fascinating. For those who learned with me the Rambam, were here when I gave the shir of committing suicide for the sake of Kiddush Hashem when he dealt with that topic. So one part of the preparation to understand that entire topic of dying on Kiddush Hashem is we went through the Rambam in Hilchas Kiddush Hashem, which is the Rambam in Yisodei HaTorah. He has a whole perek defining the parameters of the mitzvah of dying for the sake of Kiddush Shem Shemayim. What's interesting, the Rambam says, is that without the three Averis Chamuros, under normal circumstances, the halach is Yavar Ba'al Yeharek, which would explain what Tosfos is saying over here. There's no Mitzvah Yavar. But the Rambam says, and this is the part I want to emphasize, that's only where there's no Gezeres HaMalchus to eradicate Mitzvahs and Torah from Klal Yisrael. One is the Gzeres Malchus, which is called Shas HaShmad. Every mitzvah in HaTorah, every mitzvah in the Rabban, even in Hagim of Klal Yisrael, like Shulais and others, comes under Yerev Yavar. So what you have to say over here, if you assume that Tosfos and the Rabban don't disagree, is there was no Gzeres HaMalchus to destroy Torah of mitzvahs. It was a curiosity on their part, but they were not answering Torah of mitzvahs as a normal Gzeres HaShmad at this point in time. Later on they did, there's no question. But at this time when this event took place, there was no Gzeres HaShmad. If there was no Gzeres HaShmad, this will like every bit of the Torah except for the three Averis Chamuros, which even the Rambam admits, there's no Dibir Vayavar. I have to emphasize that, because if this was B'Shas HaShmad, it would appear that everybody agrees Yerei Rava would apply the Teres of Tosis, therefore would not be applicable. So I want to just make this little diuk over here, because the Gemara doesn't preface it that there were Goyes of Shmugos, and therefore this is part of the Shmad. Later on, especially when it came to the Hadrianic persecutions, there was a Gzeira of teaching Torah. The proof is, most of the Harigei Malchus, whether it was Rabbi Akiva, Hanan ben Tradion, were put to death because they were teaching Torah publicly. But that was a later Tekufa, Rabbi Isai, but that was not initially what this Tekufa of the Romans was talking about. So just be aware, there shouldn't be a steer in your mind in the different sugyas. Now, so we see over here in the Torah's Tesis Teretz, that where you have, therefore, a forcing without Shas HaShemad, you can do it. The Mashmah says, without Shas HaShemad, it's an unknown. So my question now that I want to pose to you, there's the Issa there from an Atar, it seems to teach going to Torah, unless you're being forced to, you've been coerced without a Shas HaShemad. So now my question is that an Issa to teach Goyim all of Torah? Which means, not only Torah that applies to us, but even our Torah that applies to them. Is there a blanket Iser to teach any part of Torah that relates to us and to them? Or is there a chiluk that maybe only teaching them our Torah is prohibited, but to teach them Torah that applies to them, even from Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shelefepeth, all four sources, might not come under this prohibition? This is the question I'm posing to you. So what I want to show you tonight, if you go back to page number one, I want to start with the Mahalach of Tosfos to the Tosfos I mentioned before on page one, quotation B and C. But there's the part I purposely skipped, which I want to mention now. Going back to Tosfos is Kasha. A Mosin de Reter La'avid Rechavim. So if you look three, four lines into Tosfos, the part I skipped was the following. Tosfos says, we see a little mem in the Tosfos in parentheses, V'chitema. The Zayin mitzvahs to do. Maybe halacha lamasa, we're talking about the learning of their Zayin mitzvahs or the teaching of the Zayin mitzvahs. So Tosfos says the Einachai Misa, Kedon HaShas Hasam. As we're going to learn very short, I'm going to go back to the Gemara, that an Akum, who's Oseik in their Sheva mitzvahs, is not only he's not doing it Iser, but the Gemara is going to give him an accolade, he's like a kain god. We'll see that, I haven't got to the Gemara yet. So it means there doesn't seem to be an Issa, according to Tosfos, for a guy to delve into our Torah sources in B'Ksav or Baal Peh that relates to an explanation of the Zayin mitzvahs. But I want to show you how Tosfos goes further. He says, not only that, he says, number two, the mitzvah ikula mosum lehem. There's a mitzvah, Panas Tosfos says, to teach them their Torah apart from our Torah, which means any Torah Shebichsav that relates to them, any Torah Shebichsav that relates to them, when it comes to fine-tuning their observance of Zayin mitzvahs and all the protum, all the minutiae of Zayin mitzvahs, and most of that stuff's contained in Torah Shebichsav, especially in the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin. Tosfos says not only it's mutter to teach it to them, mitzvah ikula mosum lehem. There's a mitzvah to give it over to him. So now we have Rabbi Yisrael, a major yisod of Tosfos. The Tosfos is telling us that the Makaras that I mentioned up to now, asking Goyim to learn Torah themselves, asking us to teach them Torah, only relates to the mitzvahs of the Torah and the Torah that applies to Tayag mitzvahs that have no shaykes to the B'nai Noach. But any time it's dealing with Zayin mitzvahs, and Teresh of Iksav is dealing with it, and Teresh of Ez explanation of it, and practical application. Not only does Tosfos say there's no Easter, Not only does he say it's mutter to teach them, but Tosfos' lashon is there's a mitzvah to teach them. Now, how do I know?
And what is the mitzvah?
What? I'm going to get to that. I'm going to get to that. I'm not going to shy away from it now. That I can tell you. Now, turn to page number two. If you turn to page number two, I first want to analyze what the Gemara says about a guy being Isaac in Torah itself. Going back to where I left off on page number two, the Gemara asks a mace today on Rabbi Yochanan's minor. Mace, fair me, oimer. How do you know if a guy learns Torah seriously? He's like a kain gadol. Shenema says in the Torah, Ashayasa adam asal v'chayveh, pasik and achrimos. Kohanim, levim yisrael onem in the pasik, it says adam, el adam, halamadata, shafilo oyucha v'oyisik v'tararehu k'kayin gadol. Which means the same cover you give to a kohen gadol, a cover that's terrible he represents, you give to a guy's Isaac Vitari. This is totally so sir, what we just said above, Kashem Yechonan, and for the Gemara, Hasam B'Sheva Mitzvah Stidhu. So over here, the Gemara is basically the Yisod to the Tesis on page number one. What the Gemara tells us is the Isurim of Gezelas Yisrael, the Isa of Arayas Israel in learning Torah only applies if they're osik in the Torah of Klal Yisrael when it comes to those portions that relate exclusively to the Jews of Torah Shavsav and Torah Shavapah. That's when there's a shaykhis to say there's a Sheila of Gezela, Sheila of Arayas, Ukedoymer. But when it comes to the parts of our Torah that explain Halach Lamasa, what their halachic obligation is, hashkafically and halachically, the halach is they can be Isaac in it, the guy can be Isaac, and he gets covered min hashemayim. The Gemara in Baba Kama, which I did before on page 3, claims they get scars at Einim Mitzuva Isaac, but I'm not going to get into that now. But those who learn Daf Yomi Lameches know what I'm talking about. But what I'm pointing out to you, halach lamasa, is that when they're Isaac in their mitzvahs, using our Torah sources which explain halachically, what's the halacha, Rabbi Yisai? You're supposed to give them kavod as if they're kohanim gadolim, doing holy things to come close to God, to enter into a connection with the Rabbi Yisrael. It's a figurative expression. They're not really a kohen gadol, but they get a kavod of a person doing holy things connecting to God. And it seems from the Gemara in the Masechet Sanhedrin, it's mutu for them to be Isaac in their mitzvahs, using our makarish to do such. What Tesis is mechadish, not only is there a mitzvah for them to learn the sources to know halach lamasa what to do, but we have the acharayis, the mitzvah, to help facilitate them, to participate in the process, to learn with them the makarahs, to fine-tune the halachic responsibility, as part of our responsibility as Jews. What it's based upon, I'll get to the doctor's question very shortly, but what I want to show you is Tesis's Tevetz on page 1 is really predicated on the Chiddush of the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. So of course there's no lifnei evil when it comes to it. Of course there's no, not only is there Iser, not only is there Mutter, there's a mitzvah to do such based upon this.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Where does this mitzvah emanate from? Now we know for a fact, Rabbi, so this is the guaranteed. The concept Kol Yisrael Arev Zeh L'Zeh was a din of Arevus that Klal Yisrael with Klal Yisrael arranged at Har Sinai as a Tanai to Kabbalah Satera. The Gemara tells us, and the Medrash Tanchumah mentions this explicitly, before Hashem gave us the Torah, he asked us one question. What is going to guarantee the continuation of Torah observance? So the Gemara said, and Klal Yisrael said, we accept upon ourselves the achrayas of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh. Not only are we responsible for our mitzvah observance, but we're required min haTorah through our Kabbalah, Kol Yisrael Arevim, rechayv for our fellow Jew and Jewish Torah mitzvahs. So using the Ran, in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah's Lomdis, it means Jews at Har Sinai to guarantee Kabbalah Satorah had two achrayasim. A Kabbalah Satorah Ha'atzmi for themselves, a chiyuv kabbalas a Torah to ensure the mitzvah observance of their fellow Jew and Jewess. That's a called the din of arvis, arebus, because arebus elazeh. The Ran says in the Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, you wonder how far this goes, in Daf Chavtes. That's why the Gemara says that even though a person who was mekayim a mitzvah deraisa, for instance, he made kiddush at the Deimer, alpa pisha yotza, motzi, even though I was yotza the mitzvah, if the other Jew and Jewish are amaratzim and they need me to help them do the mitzvah, they can't recite kiddush, they can't recite the Hebrew text. So you make kiddush yourself, your wife, and your next door neighbor says, ich bin an amaratz, I don't know, maybe you can't make kiddush for me. Even though I was yotza the deraisa, the rabbanim of kiddush, alpa pisha yotza, I can go to their household and repeat the entire bracha, make kiddush for them. Why? Because I might have fulfilled in my own house my own personal chiyuv of Torah and mitzvahs, but I have a chiyuv to make sure my fellow Jew and Jewess do it as well. If they can't do it for themselves, I'm a chiyuv minat Torah, based upon my Kabbalah from Har Sinai, to help facilitate the mitzvah kiyuv. That's how far our ravens goes when it comes to Jew amongst Jew, Rabbi Yisai. That's what it's based upon. But the problem is, that's an arrogance between a Jew and a Jew. Or do we have an arrogance between ourselves and the non-Jewish world? Here's my question. Is there an arrogance? We don't find in Chazal any din call Claudius or Arabian for the B'nai Noyach. We don't find such a principle. So why when this Tesis come, there's a mitzvah for us to teach the Goyim B'nai Noach Torah B'amkus. From whence does that come? Where does this come from? Everybody hear my question? Now, what I want to be megalot to tonight, Rabbi Yitzhak, in the context of this year, is I want you now to turn in the Maor Mekayimos to page number 6. When it comes to page number 6, there's a very famous Rambam text, which is from Hilchos Malachim at the end of Periches. And what the Rambam teaches us is something quite interesting, that most of the time that I know of, when we've learned in yeshivas, what the Rambam is going to teach us now, we never heard before from our Rebbeim. And that is, what was Moshe's achrais when he up to Har Sinai to Makabel Kol HaTorah Kula, when he came down to this world later on to teach Torah, what were the parameters of Moshe Rabbeinu's teaching Torah? Okay? Look at the Rambam, Rabbi Yisrael, Halacha Yud. I underline it purposely. Moshe Rabbeinu, Lo Hinchil HaTorah Mitzvahs El Yisrael. The concept of Torah of Mitzvahs, Rabbi Yisai, was for him to get over the Jews. Shenema Marosha Kilosyap. Isn't it interesting, Rabbi Yisai? The same pasuk the Gemara used in the Masechta the Sanhedrin to explain why Goyim can't learn our Torah. So that's the source that Moshe had a key to give us over the Torah from the same exact pasuk. This is the Rambam following the Mahalich of the Sugya over there. Ulachol HaRoitzel Lizgaya, B'Shalomos. And also to give Torah to those who want to megayer from the rest of the nations. Shenema kachem kager. Now we're going to see later on, what time is it now? I will mention just parenthetically, there is a machlokis amongst the Gedolei Achronim between Rabbi Kiva Ega and the Mashah with the following question. The Rambam says, not only is there a chiyuv for Moshe to teach Klal Yisrael Torah, but any future ger that wants them as gayer, we're allowed to teach them Torah as well. So the question is that after they're megayer, or even before they are megayer? So what I want to megala tonight is the Masho was of the opinion in his parish to Masechtes Shabbos, in the story of Hillel having a person coming that tell him, teach me kol haTorah kula regalachas and all kedemos, where the Gemara seems to imply that Hillel accommodated to teach him as much as he wanted to be taught, and the mashmos over there was pashas in the sugya. He wasn't megari yet, but he wanted to. But before I'm a gayer, give me this information. The mashmos says from here we learn that the gedarim of Isur to teach goyim Torah is only if the guy wants to bribe the guy. But if the guy has interest to become a Jew, but before he becomes a Jew, I want you to teach me what it's all about. Not only a, we call an overview, but I want to know a little more balumdis, the amkus, halach lamasa, what this stuff is all about. According to the Mashah, the Isur mentioned in our Gemara today about Isa to teach Goyim Torah no longer applies. and you can give as much exposure as you want when it comes to the Amkus of Torah as a prelude to him becoming a Jew, to give him an overview for Amkus if that's what he wants, without limitations, the Mashmoz of Teresh of Itzav and Teresh of Apeh. The Rebbe Kiva Eger respectfully disagrees, and he held Halach Lamasa, I'm able to answer questions that the guy has concerning Torah. I might even have to megal a little bit Halach Lamasa, but to go into Amkus and to Makaros and to be Oisik Torah in the guy, that can't take place until after I'm a guy or him. But before my guy, I don't have a right to do such. So there are two shitas amongst the Gadol Acharonim. If you have a guy candidate, can I teach him Ba'amkus initially? That's why I say when the Rambam says, V'chol harotze l'zgayim mishahumos, what's interesting, harotze seems to imply they want a Megayah. Doesn't say they were Megayah yet. I could be Medayah like the Mashah, that the heter applies even before the Geris is Chal. And I can see a person making a deek in the Rambam, just pointing this out as a piece of information. Let's go back to the Rambam. Then he says the following. But non-Jews who don't want to become Jews, we're not like the Goyer Shevelt, like the Muslims Lahavdol or the Christians that wanted to force all the other people on the face of this earth to proselytize to their religions. Judaism is not a proselytizing religion. We're not interested in people becoming our Gerim. We surely never historically ever forced anybody to convert to Judaism. That's why when Rus wanted to convert, the Tanakh tells us they were first pushed her away, and only when they saw her sincerity, we were Makarev. And the Rambam Hilchas Yisurei Bia, we calls all, discusses all the halachas of Geirus, he points that out very, very importantly. So we surely have no chiyuv of forcing the guy to Makabel Torah, but now we come to the part of the Rambam on the Medayik. V'chein tzuva Moshe Rabbeinu, mipiyad gevura, lakuf es kaboy olam, Lekabel mitzvah sheshtabon einoach. The Moshe on Har Sinai was given a separate tzav when he comes down to force the world to once again accept the Sheva mitzvahs, which initially they were given in the beginning of Briyat Olam. Moshe was given a separate nevuah to force the world to observe Zayin mitzvahs. Umishlo yekabel yaharik. Theoretically, he could have killed the guy for not accepting, based upon the fact that the guy himself violates his mitzvahs, his chayv misa. Even though we don't find Moshe doing that, but he had the ability to force them if he so desired. So we see over here, Rabbi Yisai, a historical piece of information, that Moshe, as the monarch of Claudius when he came down, had two different audiences he had to teach Torah to. He had to teach Torah to Claudius, that's our Tayyag Mitzvahs, Marash Achilas Yaakov, but he also had a second audience, he was Mechuyev to once again give over Zayin Mitzvahs. The Gemara tells us in Baba Kama and Avodah Zarah, many of the Goyim, even though they received Zayin Mitzvahs, going back to the time of Adam Arishon and Noah, were Marashel, basically didn't observe Zayin Mitzvahs. That's the whole discussion in Baba Kama we had, that many of them didn't keep it, were not concerned with it, they treated it lightly. That's where the Gemara entertains the possibility, as the punishment Hashem took away the Schaz and the Tzuv of Aisah and gave the Enim Mitzvahs, the whole Da'af of Da'af Ches over there. So from this it seems to imply for the Rambam, to counterbalance the Hisrashlus, Moshe only came to the Hasina, was given the mitzvah to once again teach the Gaya Shavel. Not only did the Jews have Tayyak mitzvahs, you guys got Zion as being a Navi to the world at large, representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had a double obligation to the Goyim and to us to reveal to each society what their halachic obligations were. Now, why am I mentioning this? We're going to now come to your Dr. Maron, your question. So we see over here, even though the Jews are not achrayi for the Goyim, nevertheless, the first manig of Klai, so Moshe Rabbeinu had a tzav to teach us and to teach the Goyim. Now, turn the page, listen to this. Dr. Maron, now the source of your inquiry is going to come to light. If you turn to page 9 and 10, there's a Mishnah Mufereshes in Masechtes Pirkei Avos, which comes from the third parrot. And this is a maimer of none other than the great Gadol Hadar, or Gadol Vol Hadar, it's Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. Turn the page to page 10. Kiva says, Shenadaslam Shenivra B'Tzelem. Shenivra B'Tzelem Okiv Ases Adam. So the Taisis Yantav on the side asked the following question. Who is Rabbi Kiva? in this Mishnah talking to? What's the context of it? So says the Tesis Yontif in a tremendous arichos. He quotes the Rambam I just learned with you. And he says, you know who the audience is? Rabbi Kiva is talking to Klal Yisrael as the Rebbe, the Rosh Hashiva, and telling us that we have a mandate to make sure that everybody in this world, Jew and non-Jew, realize that they're created in the image of God, which means there's a God you're answerable to, there's a God you're accountable to when it comes to your daily contact. And he quotes the Rambam that the same way Moshe was given the job to teach the Goyim their Torah besides teaching the Jews their Torah, and Moshe had the ability even to enforce it with a threat of death if you don't observe it, we don't have that ability to threaten with death, but at least we have to model ourselves after Moshe Rabbeinu to feel that there is some type of responsibility as being the Erl of Goyim for us to teach the non-Jews their responsibilities. And the first way to sensitize a guy to his responsibility is first for him to understand you're not a two-legged animal. That you're a two-legged human being, created with Selam Elohim. There's a God that you're accountable to. There are mitzvahs that God put upon you. The mitzvahs that God expects you to observe as a two-legged human being, a two-legged Selam Elohim. You're not a two-legged behemoth walking in the face of this earth. And therefore you have God's image. You're able to perceive God, understand God on your level because of Yitzelem Elohim. There's a chiyuv of mitzvahs you have to observe. So us impacting and teaching the non-Jewish world their Torah and mitzvahs and their spiritual capacities according to the Tosfos Yom Tov is modeled after the Moshe Rabbeinu model mentioned in the Rambam. You've quoted that beferish. Where Moshe could enforce it with a threat of death, we cannot enforce it that way. But one thing is for sure, what we're doing in trying to teach them their responsibilities, which Moshe had a mitzvah to teach them, we have a mitzvah as well, and that is modeling ourselves after Moshe Rabbeinu. So if you ask me, will you see a mitzvah to doing this, the Tosfos Yom Tov therefore identifies the Rambam concerning Moshe is used as the model, the role model, for us as Klal Yisrael, Rabbi Kiva, to highlight that. Told his Talmidim, told Klal Yisrael, you have to make sure everybody realizes in the book of Genesis and Sefer Bereishis, God created man. Adam was not a Jew. Chava was not a Jewess. They were non-Jews. And the terrorists is the created B'Tselem Elohim. We as an Erl of Goyim have to give them that sensitivity and show them their responsibility. It's interesting. Now, the question is Moshe Rabbeinu the first person in the face of this earth that had that responsibility? So let me share with you a beautiful nitziv. Beautiful nitziv. The nitziv says, if you want to know where Moshe Rabbeinu got this mandate from, where it stems from, and where Klal Yisrael, what I'm telling you now, Klal Yisrael has a similar mandate, it dates back to Parshas Lech Lecha, to the time of Avraham Avinu, when the Ribbono Shel Olam changed the name of Avram to Avraham, as we say in the Davin Ishin every day. And he says, the reason is, ki av haman goyim misaticha. So the Nitziv says, what Avram was therefore told by the Ribbono Shel Olam, even though Avram wasn't a full-fledged Jew yet, but he was going to be with him and Sarah, the progenitors of the Jewish people. But I'm telling you, Avram, you two have two obligations as being the ultimate progenitor of the Jews. Number one, you have your personal obligation and Torah and mitzvahs that I gave you and your wife and your progeny. That's a personal obligation. But then you have a worldwide obligation to make sure that the non-Jewish world, the B'nai Noach, observe their Zayin mitzvahs, observe their mitzvahs that they're required to do. You have to be their mentor. That's your agency, that's your responsibility. And to show his agency was called Avraham, which means you have a world responsibility to teach them their Torah as well. Says the Nitziv, that is therefore the source on Har Sinai, a source I haven't mentioned yet, where not only do we have the Rambam telling us that Moshe had that responsibility to teach the Goyim besides teaching Klal Yisrael, but it says in the preamble in Parshas Yisrael of Kabbalah Satayra, Atem Tiyuli, Mamaleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. And he says, what's the pshat? The pshat is, Gai Kaddish means Klal Yisrael with Kabbalah Sator have to spiritually uplift themselves with Torah Mitzvahs, to Mekaddish themselves, Gai Kaddish. Mamlechas Kohen means you have to go out to the Gaiish of Eld and teach them their responsibility of spiritually observing Zion Mitzvahs and coming close to God, which meant to say, he's giving you a source biblically, which the Rambam doesn't even mention over here. He says, I have seen that before we even Mekabbal the Torah. We were told you're only going to be Kabbal if you're willing to be a Mamlechas Kayinim and a Gai Kadosh, taking on the dual role which Avram had many, many years earlier. You're now the sequel and the Makkah Bapatish of the Avram and Sarah bringing Klaus into existence. The Netziv in his Hemek Dov and Chumash goes into it. He says that's the Pshat why the Denobi Leiron calls Klaus Yisrael to be an Arla Gayim. You're spiritually illuminating the Gai Shevel. This was your responsibility given to you by HaKadosh Baruch Hu at HaSinai to be the disseminators of Torah. The Rambam, interesting, only talks about Moshe Tischaivus. The Netziv says it's Klai Yisrael Tischaivus as well, so he even embellishes it. Yeshaya alludes to that. So therefore we now have the answer to the question. When Tosfos therefore says there's a mitzvah Klai Yisrael to give the Goyim their knowledge of the Zayin mitzvahs, we now have Dr. Marin, the source of material from which all of this emanates, in the Makaris I just demonstrated to you. So we have Mamish now, but what's interesting is, we might have a Chiyuv to teach them and to make them know what their responsibility is, but there's no halacha kol Yisra arevim for the Gai Shul. We're not arevos, that if they sin, we're punished. That's only between Jew and Jew. But when it comes to Jew and Gai, we have to megala, we have to teach, we have to be modia, illuminate them what their responsibilities are. They should tell you later on, manish gavust. That we know what the Makaris are, and that's the source of what the Tosfos says over here, and what I wanted to bring out. That we have the responsibility to articulate and to teach them from the Makaris what their responsibility is. The Netziv points out, on an historical perspective, even before you came to our later Tekufos, the Rabbanu Shalom in the Torah already gave us an understanding of being an Arla Goyim. Where did he give us that understanding? If you look in the Parshas Kisav and other Parshas, which talk about what happens when Klal Yisrael goes Eivar Yarden under the jurisdiction of Yehoshua, you have to write the Torah Ber Heitev on the stones you set up on Eivar Yarden. And Chazal tell us it was written B'Shivim Lashon Ber Heitev. And the Gemara in Sota, if you remember, told us, what was the purpose of writing the Torah on the stones? That the Goyish of Chachamim should come from all around, copy the text of the Torah Shavikzav, Chumash, to bring it back, to teach it to the Ummah Sa'ila. And what's interesting is, even though all the mitzvahs of the Torah don't apply to the Goyim, only Zayin of the Torah apply to them, it's important, the Netziv says, for them to know the entire text. Why? Because the entire text of the Torah teaches the Goyish of Eld. First is a Rabbeinu Shalom that was the Bayer Olamim, the fact that God created the universe, which is a hashkafa everybody has to believe in. Number two, there's an accountability you have to God, because when you read the Chumash, you see the concept of Tzchar Onesh, the concept of hashkafa Pratit, and therefore the people are rewarded and people are punished, Jew and non-Jew alike, in the Chumash itself. The concept of the mission of Klal Yisrael singled out, to take away anti-Semitism, to say that why are the Jews given such an aliyah, we are not, the concept of Klaus will be Makabel Tarwili and the rest of the world not being Makabel, to understand therefore the Jews as being the representatives of God, be macho them, give them cover, don't torment them, don't commit anti-Semitism, respect them and learn from them. So knowing the entire Chumash, and later on many of us say even learning to be Meksubim, which inculcates all these concepts of God, it's good for a guy to learn this. It therefore develops the character, the personality, and makes them a Yerush Shemayim, makes them understand the beauty of Torah, the beauty of what Klal Yisrael are trying to do, and therefore develop harmony and shalom and peace in the world, etc., etc. So therefore, the Ber Heitev, according to the Netziv, was part of the process of disseminating from Torah. Very interesting. They had printing presses, so they had to copy by hand, basically, and bring back the information. The Shivim Lashon means it was given in a way that every country would have their translation and therefore able to present the information to their people. So from all of this we see, Rabbi Isai, that the Isser of teaching Torah to Goyim was exclusively meant disseminating to the goy our Torah, our mitzvahs that relate exclusively to Jews. But when it comes to our Torah that defines their hashkafic responsibilities and their halach responsibilities, not only in Torah Shemeksav, but even in Torah Shemapeh, that was not nichleles in the Iser. And not only are we allowed to disseminate it, the lashon is there's a mitzvah to do such, and this mitzvah goes back to the Ma'aseh Siman Banim of Aaron the Sarah. It then was duplicated by Klas HaHasinim, Amlech Tzkani V'Gai Kadosh. Later on we find that Yeshua did when he came to Reign Kavei Heitei. And what's interesting to note, that Halacha Lamasa, the Chassam Sefer, the Heiliger Chassam Sefer, everybody always calls him in the Shul the Heiliger Chassam Sefer, says it is Shelus and Shudas. There is a mitzvah for Klal Yisrael, Lahoiros, Levenei Moach, their Zayim, Mitzvah Benei Noach. That there's a mitzvah for us to teach it to them, to make them know it, to therefore give them the information. Not only are you allowed to, there's a mitzvah to do such, mitzvah Lahoiros, which means before the Lubavitch Rebbe even dreamt about it. The Chassam Safari Paskin this in the late 1800s, so it wasn't the Lubavitch Rebbe who was Mechadish this, on the contrary. I once saw the Sicha of the Rebbe, who has a whole mimer upon this. In fact, it was a couple of years when the Rebbe was still around. He had 1 year as the international mission of the Lubavitcher. They usually have a mission a year, that all the Lubavitcher around the world and all the countries should spend that year in trying to sensitize the Goyim amongst whom they live to be sensitized to observing Zayin Mitzvah B'nei Noach. He had once a year mission like this. So therefore, where did the Rebbe get it from? He got it in his mind from the Kurus I shared you tonight. From the Rambam text, from the Tesis Yomtov's text, from the Chassam Sofer's text, from the Tesis and Chagiga's text, from the Melechus Kohen Gadol. He says, look in the Sephorna. The Sephorna also says, there's a mitzvah for us, Melechus Kohen, to teach the Goyim their responsibilities. So therefore, Rabbi Yisai, it seems that this is pretty much muskim amongst our gedolim of our responsibility when it comes to the Goyish Welt. That is why, on a contemporary level, what I always find fascinating, interesting, I always was curious, but it's quite obvious now why we do it, why is it that Agudas Yisrael and the OU as two examples have an official political legal lobby in Washington, D.C., and anytime any legislation is coming up before the Supreme Court or any major judicial bodies, why do they feel there's a need for them to submit a legal brief to articulate their opinion? Agudah does it continuously. The OU does it continuously. I remember many, many years ago when I was younger at Malpechus, that when President Bush was still in charge, the younger President Bush, and at that time stem cell research became a hot issue, whether we should do it in America. And at that time, the Christian church that he was part of came out with the Iser of embryonic stem cell research as being abortion, because you're taking blastocysts and you're destroying them, and therefore you can't participate in stem cell research. So Bush was an intellectual. He wrote to all the major religions in America and said, listen, I know what I got to do according to church mandate, but I don't want to paskin for the Jews or for the Muslim or anybody else. He asked every religion to submit a legal brief explaining what your position is when it comes to stem cell research and these types of studies. I know for a fact because the RCA and the OU were asked to write a brief like this, and I was asked by the OU and the RCA to be part of the rabbinical commission to write a brief. The later was submitted to the president with the information explaining why we are pro embryonic stem cell research, and the reason we're pro, explaining our difference than that of the Catholic Church, for him to understand it's not Judeo-Christian to oppose it. It might be a Christian position, but it's not the Jewish position, and therefore understand that if we do it, and we basically try to inculcate people doing this research, what it's based upon. And he was very appreciative, you know, that we sent and that we wanted. It therefore allowed him to be a little makel, because what he ended up doing because of that is instead of answering all embryonic stem cell research, he only said, Mikana lahaba, you can't do it, but whatever cells of stem cell you create up until this point in time, mashahuta hutra, you can do research on those that already have been created and are in the laboratory and still play with those cells. Don't do it, which means you can't do it with federal funding mikana lahaba. But what was already created, you can maintain with federal funding. What you want to do with private funding, that's your business. So what I'm pointing out to you is that there is an inyan that when there's a legal battle taking place, that you should submit to the Supreme Court sometimes, and a good that does. When certain psukim are given that could basically infringe upon our religious freedom in America, whatever it is, they submit legal briefs to explain what the Jewish law is, what perhaps Fanei Noach law is, to understand the differences and similarities, to be an Arla Goyim, to give them clarification. And sometimes the courts take into consideration, sometimes they don't, but there is an inyan to share it. I can tell you honestly, not only in the Tekufa of the Tanaim did we find certain Tanaim who used to go into the ministries of the Roman government and to be participant in the discussions, to deliberate, to express the Jewish view and the Torah view on many different subjects. We have Tanaim being allowed to violate Chuchas Akim, to dress a certain way, cut the hair a certain way, to be participants. Rosh Yehuda ben Hanani is one of the famous Tanaim who had that enter, as the din of Karav L'Malchus. But even later on in the 1800s, 1900s, you have people, Rabbanim, who became part of the legislatures of the Goyish European governments, so there should be somebody to articulate our opinion when it comes to those governments who want to listen to what Jews had to say. There were certain Chashur Rabbanim who were participating, articulating our opinion, so they should understand what our opinion is compared to theirs, and give them a little illumination. If you ask the Makar, where does this all come from, where does this derive itself from, it's from these Makaras I gave you tonight, Rabbi Yisai. That's why it's important for us to share our opinions with the world. That was Hashem's initial concept of Elogayim. That's why, to end up tonight, the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Malachim, where he describes the Messianic era and the ultimate Tekufas HaMashichias, says, you know what's going to happen with Tekufas HaMashichias? When at that time, all the Giluyim of the Goyim, understanding that there's only one God in this world, and that the only major religion is the Zaymitzis of the Goyim and the Tanya of Klal Yisrael, and all the other false religions will fall by the wayside, because they'll realize there's only one God, and all the concept of the Trinity, all the other Buddha mindsets will fall by the wayside, and all the other false prophets, or semi-prophets or semi-gods, will basically be ignored. So what's going to be Klal Yisrael's purpose at the end of time? That we're going to be the spiritual repository of the world. Ki mitzien teitzei Torah Dvar Hashem Yerushal, which means the world will come to us for us to teach them not to be Jews, but to teach them how to be Bnei Noach and observe the Zayin Mitzvahs, hashkafically, halachically, and otherwise. That's what we're going to be doing, Rabbi Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael Mashiach, which means there'll be a fulfillment of the mandates I mentioned today. Ava Mangayim, Mamlechas Kainim. That's what we're dreaming for, that's what we're hoping for, Rabbi Yisrael. And I'll tell you right now, we already see Simon of that happening, but I don't plan to do Marek.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.